This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, speaking to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but it is Super Bowl Sunday as we speak. And just concluded the yet another afternoon disaster, delight, however you want to see it. Disaster if you're still feeling like a Caps fan.
Definitely wasn't a delight.
No. That it certainly wasn't an afternoon delight. If you're, if you know what that means, if you're old enough to know that reference, it wasn't one of those unless you quit watching the game to partake in an afternoon delight. But which maybe the players might have thought of doing since it was Super Bowl Sunday, but we'll get to that later. That voice you just heard, by the way, of course, the dulcet tones of the seamstress for the band. My wife, of course, Mrs. Blue Liner.
Hi, guys. I'm back.
Yeah, she is back for another week as Anna is still taking care of some family business. So it was another week of three games. I decided to go ahead and record today. I knew I was going to say I was recording Saturday. I had some plans laid out, but they, of course, fell through. So we're recording on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's just after the game, and I'm just after being pissed. No, I'm still pissed. But again, we'll get to that in a minute. So we'll have three games to cover this week. Let's just go ahead and get right on into it. First game this week was the first of the two home games that last Tuesday against the Blue Jackets. Now, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Not what you would say a good team. That said, I don't think, well, if you had any notion of looking past this game, then, well, you couldn't have been more wrong, and the Caps proved it.
Well, yeah. But then again, they've had a really rough time this season with teams that should have been easy for them to beat.
Yeah, should have been. That's becoming all too much of a pattern lately. And the phrase playing down to your competition, yeah. I'm seeing that and reading that and getting sick of that.
Yeah.
More than a little sick of that. But let's run down the summary. Started out okay. No score until 17-19 into the first. Garnet Hathaway, his eighth. That line again doing its thing. Dowd and Haglin on the assists. Nice backhander to open the scoring. No other goals in the first period. On to the second period. Nick Dowd, his seventh. Farivari and Haglin, the assists on that one. 40 seconds in. The wrister. And then the wheels started to come off a bit. Caps got one of, let's see,
shitload of penalties?
Three, well, they gave up the first of three power plays. Yeah. And Patrick Laine capitalized on this one, his 11th of the year, to make it 2-1. So this penalty, let's see. This one was... What was this one? Because it doesn't... So they said the goal was scored 9:38 in the second. Boy, this app. Okay. This was the John Carlson penalty. This penalty was about to be over. It was 3 seconds away from being over. It was the John Carlson trip against Nyquist was what this one was. Adam Boqvist tied the game for the Jackets 3 minutes later.
Wait a minute. Somehow I'm thinking you're a little confused because how did they tie the game? Oh, never mind. We'd already scored.
Yeah. So
I'm sorry.
No problem. So Dowd put him up 2-0, and then Laine got his power play goal, make it 2-1. Boqvist ties it 3 minutes later. So that's really where we are. About 13 minutes in. So 15:57 in the second, Evgeny Kuznetsov answers with his own power play goal. Ovechkin and Carlson on the assists for that one. And, okay, so we're thinking everything's good. Well, it was not. So Caps give up yet another power play. This one was a... Was this the unsportsmanlike conduct? I believe yes. It was. Yes, it was. No, it wasn't.
Oh, yes, it was.
You're right. It was. 4 seconds left in the second period. Trevor Van Riemsdyk got called for literally throwing down the gauntlet. He took his glove off and started punching, and so he got the extra penalty. Well, that's all they needed. Patrick Laine, his second of the game, second power play goal of the game. 4 seconds left for the backbreaker in this one, makes it 3-3. And then the guy playing his first game ever in the NHL scores 2:40 in. Roslovic and Max Domi, his second assist of the night. Trevor Fix-Wolanski, Trey Fix-Wolanski. I didn't know Wolanski was broken. But he scores his first ever in his first ever game. 2:40 in the third, putting the Jackets up.
Not his first ever game. He's played three other games.
He has?
Two other games. But this was his first goal.
Okay. Then why did they... I saw a video where they made him... it must have been some other game, but they made him take the traditional rookie skate lap in the dark.
Wait a minute. Okay, now he's played three games. So, yes, that was his first game. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so he makes it 4-3 in
2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Not even 3 minutes played. Okay, so time to tighten all orifices.
Yeah.
No scoring for about 15 minutes, and then Tom Wilson barrels towards the net, picks up a loose puck, and wrists it home. No assists on this goal, ties it 4-4. We're thinking, okay, this is probably going to go into overtime and be, well, it was already needlessly exciting, but even more so by going to overtime. So we thought. Not to be. 45 seconds left in the game. Boone Jenner gets his 19th. Nyquist and Laine again on the assists with a backhander. And I'm going to take a look at the video on this goal because I don't know what the F-U-C-K happened here, but I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay, so the replay picks it up in center ice. Jackets break out. Okay, so they gain the zone. A shot, really bad rebound, and yeah, nobody picks it up. Jensen does his best to corral the guy in front, and Jenner picks up the loose puck, puts it away. Plenty of blame to go around. Probably could hang this one somewhat on Samsonov. Okay, so
wasn't this? Wait a minute, hang on. Isn't this this game they pulled Sammy and put Copley in?
You know what? You might be right about that. No, it's Samsonov in goal. Other way around. I think. Let me check. I think this was one where Copley started, and yeah, Copley started, and they put Samsonov in. Yeah, other way around.
Okay.
Yeah, let me double check, but I'm pretty sure that's what they did. Yes, Copley started and gave up the first four goals. And Samsonov was put in, let's see, the time, 2 minutes into, right after he gave up that fourth goal. And yeah, Copley was not having a good night in net. But Samsonov actually wasn't that bad until that goal. He gave up a good 15-foot rebound. And like I said, Jenner picked it up, and Jensen did his best to pick up the man, but he got turned around, and yeah, the rest is history. So yet another inconsistent, incoherent, incontinent, look that one up, game, if I ever saw one. And if I'm throwing around the language where I refer to bowel movements a lot, well, it's because the Caps took a very large one in the last 2 minutes of this game. I would have thought that after the Wilson goal, they had the momentum. That's what pissed me off. Should have being the key phrase here. You tie the game that late, okay, after being down for most of the period, you should have the momentum. I have no idea what it is with this team lately, but nothing sticks. Nothing good seems to stick. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. But like you said, the momentum should have been with and stayed with the Caps and did not after that goal. And I don't know, yet Samsonov, who was playing, you know, pretty decent hockey, who, you know, he was stopping everything until that one. And then I don't know, but it wasn't that the Caps were having that good a game to begin with. And it was like we said, it was another example of playing down to a team that probably had no business challenging the way they did. And I will give credit where credit is due, because I've always liked this guy, and I always liked seeing him play. But Elvis Merzlikins had a pretty good game. He did what he had to do. He came up big when he had to, and he kept the Jackets in it, obviously. Now he only had to, well, he had to deal with, you know, 33 shots. You would think that would have been enough. Four goals. You would have think that had been enough to get at least a point out of this game.
One would have thought, yeah.
One would have thought. But I would, okay, now, sorry for the rambling here, but I'm going to go all over the place here, because that's where I think the problems are. I don't think the problems are just in net. And I'm sorry.
It's all over the place. There is no cohesiveness.
Hold on to that phrase.
Okay.
Keep going, but hang on to that. Remember that phrase.
Okay. There's no cohesiveness. They don't play like they've been playing together 40 games, 40-plus games. It's like you make a line change, and they're like, oh, shit, who am I playing with?
Right.
And 40-plus games into the season, that should be over with, especially based off of what we were dealing with earlier in the season.
Right. Again, should be, but is not.
Right. I mean, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. The Jazz line did awesome. But that probably has been the one line that hasn't had a lot of changes to it. Now, I'm not going to say it hasn't been changed, because we've seen that line change up too. But Hathaway, Dowd, and Hagelin, they play good. They play well together. They seem to know where they are, where each other is on the ice the entire time. You don't generally see huge screw-ups. I say generally, don't see huge screw-ups with that line on the ice. Now, there lately, some of these other lines, it's like, okay, wait a minute, you know you're supposed to be here, and why are you all the way over there? And that's what it looks like. It looks like they forgot what they're, like, I know teams have their standard plays and stuff like that, and you're supposed to be here when this is going on, and I'm not seeing that they're getting into position and they're not where they're supposed to be, and they just look like the glue's coming undone.
That's probably the best way it can be put. Now, but as I was beginning my thought, the it's not all on the goalie. And I'm sorry. Look, those of you out there listening who think it's all on the goalies.
No, it's not all on the goalies, because if the goalies were the problem,
then they'd be losing games 11-2.
We'd be losing games 11-2. We wouldn't even be in games. We wouldn't be winning games. It's not a goalie issue. Yes, there are goalie problems, but what's going on right now is not a goalie issue.
No. Although,
that
like I
said.
Being
said.
Go ahead.
Obviously, we could benefit from a veteran just to help teach the young guys a little bit and give them that leadership. But I don't think we need to be talking about trading one of them.
No, I don't think we need to either. And although, well, okay, so I'm about to shoot holes in the argument a little bit, because I watched the replay of the Fix Wolanski's goal, and that was the goal. Well, that kind of sealed Copley's fate. That was the fourth one he'd given up, and it was what I like to call a fart goal. He stopped it. It went between his legs. He didn't realize what was coming between his legs, and before he knew it, there was something that had gone between his legs and behind him, and it kind of stunk.
All right, hang on, let me see.
Okay, he didn't actually fart the puck through.
No, I get that. You have to remember, I was at work Tuesday night. I didn't get to see the game.
Okay, I'm
so
just saying.
I'm trying to see what happened.
Right. So if you're watching the replay, it's the fourth Blue Jackets goal.
Yeah, I saw. And there were three defenders down on the ice. Down, there were three players back, three caps back. They should have never even been able. Okay, at that point, by the time the shot was taken, there were four caps back in defense. That shot should have never made. Should have never gotten off.
Right. So yes, Copley should have stopped it. But how come nobody put a body on this guy?
Right.
Right. So I'm sorry, but the defense does bear some responsibility. And look, I'm really, really frustrated right now, because it's painfully apparent that 2022 has been none too kind to the Caps. They are below 500 for the new year, below 500, including what is now 5 straight fucking losses at home. Okay?
Right. And that's wow. I think they said you have to go back to 2017 for the last time we lost this many consecutive home games.
Right. Well, put it this way. It's been a while, a long while.
Yes, it has been a while.
But I'm going to put a pin in this because I'm not going to mention it now. But I think there was something that happened. I'm not going to say it was the chief cause, but if you believe in coincidences, this happened the same around. I want to say it happened around the same time the Caps started playing like they were in constant bowel movement function.
All right. So, what happened?
Well, I'm going to remind me later. I'm going to get to that because I'm going to put an exclamation point on it at the end. Because as bad as this game was, it wasn't anywhere nearly as bad as today's game. So after I get done that,
Can we move on to something a little less depressing?
Sure we can. Although it was still pretty far from the Caps' best game, but
wasn't their best game, but from the game they played Tuesday night, weeks and bounds better.
No, true. So, two nights later, Caps crossed the border, and I don't mean into Mexico. I mean, or that they got any Taco Bell takes. This would be up north to La Belle Provence in Canada against
Minus
Ovechkin, thanks to Canada's COVID laws, yes. Make of that what you will.
Well, I'm just saying, never mind. This game, it didn't matter because, never mind.
No, it didn't matter, but you have to wonder. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, the Caps go up to Canada, in Montreal in particular, to play the Canadiens, who had just fired their coach earlier in the day.
No, I fired him the day before.
Or the day before, whatever. They had just freshly fired their coach. And I was a little worried because the Caps traditionally don't play well against a team that had just fired their coach. But that's what happened in Montreal, and with good reason, because they made the final last year, and this year they have been just an abject disaster. They are actually last in the league. They haven't yet won 10 games, is how bad they are. So
wait a minute. They haven't won a total of 10 games, or they haven't won 10 consecutive games?
They have not won a total of 10 games.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. I shit you not. You look at the stand, they still haven't won. They play 48. Their record is 8-33-7.
Wow.
As of today.
Yeah, they had 44 shots on goal.
Well, right. I was getting to that. So, Caps play in this nice little tilt. And, okay, so let's just get to the scoring summary. 5:04 in the first, Joe Snively, Herndon's own Joe Snively, gets his first ever as an NHL professional. Justin Schultz, rather. Why do you keep calling him Jeff? Reminds me of the, oh God, not him. So Justin Schultz with the assist on that one, 5:04 in the first, stakes the Caps to a 2-0 lead. And then, I'm looking too far ahead. So, 2-0 would be the score after another rookie, Connor McMichael, would get his seventh. So the, please play the younger guys crowd would probably creaming their pants at this point. Eller and Van Riemsdyk set your DVR to TVR on that one with the assist, 2-0. 20 seconds later, after the Snively goal. So, I literally just gotten off of work like 2 minutes after this, and I was surprised to see the scoreboard.
We turned the TV on, and it was 2-0. Like, what the hell?
Nice. Nice. So no other scoring in the first period. And then 3:40 in the second, who should score? I kid you not here, but Carl Hagelin with his third. Yes, we have a Carl Hagelin sighting in this episode of the Power Play Point podcast. His third on a ridiculous angle. I'll just say
that angle was incredible.
I don't know if I don't know if he just shot it that well, or the poor goalie for the Canadiens, he was just playing Jedi mind tricks on him or something. I don't know what, but this puck had eyes.
Yes, it did, and it was a pretty shot, though.
Very much so. And enough to match his current hairstyle for the game anyway. Martin Fedivari and Carlson on the assist for that one. So that would turn out to be the winning goal. And then Canadiens would get one back less than a minute later. In fact, 29 seconds later, a guy by the name of Rem Pitlick. I wonder if he's Lance's son. Gets his 9th of the year. And then minute 9 later, Snively with his second of the game. Nice wrister. In fact, this one I think deserves a replay. Schultz and Kuznetsov with the assists on that one. So we'll watch the replay on this as soon as the stupid ad decides to stop getting in my way. This one was a nice one. This one was pretty. Okay, so the replay picks up. Thank you. They're in the corner.
Down.
Okay, there's a breakout. Kuzi has it on the wing. No, it's all Snively. It is all Snively. So Kuzi picks it up out of the corner and fires it to Snively, who gains the zone and just walks in from the right circle and just wrists it past the goalie.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Oh, this thing was a sinker ball underneath a glove. Yep. Lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. This kid's got talent. I can't stop saying it. I wish I never have to stop saying it, but Joe Snively makes things happen out there. He really does. And if there's anybody of the young guys that has deserved more of the ice time and can deliver on same, it is Joe Snively. So, yeah, more of that, please. More of that, please. So he makes it 4-1. And then, let's see, 15, almost over 15 minutes later, Cole Caulfield. And this is the one thing I didn't like about the game. After Snively's goal, I think they pretty much stopped playing.
Yeah, they did. They rested. They went back on their heels and said, okay, well, it's just so much of a goal. We've got it. No work, no sense trying.
Right, because they had, I think that's when, I think maybe after, no, it wasn't after Snively's goal. It was after the next goal. They scored Wilson's goal it was after that goal.
Yeah, it was after Snively's goal where they started resting back and taking it easy.
Well, I was just going to say, it was sometime around then that Montreal decided to switch the goalie, because they started a guy who hadn't even barely played like something like 15 games or something like that in his whole career. So, yeah. And like you said, they started playing back and, you know, kind of not pressing the game and kind of conceding everything. And yeah, I didn't like that. Didn't like that one bit.
Yeah.
But the Caulfield goal was the only one they gave up after that. And then Wilson ices it 18:45 in the third for the empty netter. Three stars of the game, obviously Joe Snively, number one. Caps actually allowed 44 shots on goal in this one. I was very surprised by that. But again, most of that, well, obviously, a lot of that, but most of that was in the second and third period. Yeah. A combined 34 shots for the last two periods.
Yeah. That's crazy. We had four shots in the last period. That's
four.
Unacceptable.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. That is
right.
Unacceptable.
That's crazy. I mean, I get what people were saying. It's like, okay, well, let's not blow them out of the water. But they didn't show up on the ice on the third period.
Yeah, and the prevailing opinion was that had this game been against a far better opponent, the result might have been way different.
It would have been way different. If they played that same way against a better team, oh, it would have been enormously different.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to go over special teams in this game because I've just about had it, but I will in this next game coming up. So that was the one win they got. And okay, so I've made a lot of hay about it already. And yeah, and so we're finally getting to today's game earlier in the day. Back at home in the friendly confines of Capital One. And I am really, I mean, I had the sound down. I didn't hear any booing, but I wouldn't be surprised if that starts happening.
It's going to start. I mean, for them to play like they did today against, again, another team that they should have won against.
Yeah, like we said, fifth straight loss at home. Something that hasn't happened in over 4 years. Yeah. Anyway, let's just get the bad news out of the way.
We lost.
Yeah. Okay, so 5:34 in the first. Well, let's see. 5:08 in the first. Caps get a power play. Yeah, you know, and that has become a scary proposition. You know why?
Because we can't score.
Well, not just that, but we can't stop scoring. Can't stop the other team from scoring while we're on the power play. How novel a concept is that? To prevent the other team from scoring while you have the man advantage.
Supposed to have the man advantage.
That is a concept. I don't believe that. Wow. How could you have so much trouble? I'm being sarcastic, of course, if you can't tell.
I know you are.
But how can you have so much trouble? It's one thing to have so much trouble putting the puck in the opposition's net when you have a man advantage. You should not have this much trouble defending if you have the man advantage. It's really easy. You hang on to the wee rubber thing. And you don't let the opposition skate with the wee rubber thing into your territory. It's that easy. It really is. Hey. Well, anyway, 34 seconds into this power play, Alex Formenton of the Senators gets his 11th of the year.
Okay, so I just watched the shorty.
The replay?
Uh-huh.
This was an ass-backwards, broken-up play.
Yeah.
I don't get what happened here.
I'm not sure what happened either, but it didn't help that Ovechkin just kind of, like, swung his stick. I'm sorry, you seriously wanted to stop the man from scoring? I've seen Ovi block shots before.
Well, that's what I said. That's why I'm saying it was a busted play because Ovechkin interfered with him enough so that he was actually who would end up being the shooter was actually out of the play. And then somehow he recovered enough so that he could take the pass.
And like I said, yeah.
Go ahead.
But like I said, I know I've seen Ovi block shots before. That shit that he just tried, I don't know what the hell that was. That wasn't an attempt on a block shot.
No, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know if he thought he got in his way enough or if he just lost track of the play or what the hell happened, but no, it wasn't even anywhere near an attempt on the block shot. Now, as far as could Samsonov have played it better? If you want a built-in excuse for him, I would say unfortunately the replay doesn't really show it very well. No, you know what? I don't really see how he could have been screened. Because by the time the shot was taken, Ovechkin was 2 feet clear of him. So
right. It was only Ovechkin and Carlson back. There was no other cap back to even attempt. Hang on a second. Let me see this again. I gotta wait for the ad to run again.
Well, while you're looking at that, I would say that Samsonov had a pretty good sight line, I would have thought, of the shot. So you can lay some of the blame on him. I don't think Ovechkin really screened him. I thought he had, but he wasn't.
Because the angle that the shot came from, Ovi was throwing his stick out in front of him. So unless it took a deflection off of, unless Ovi deflected it a smidge and bounced it, it bounced funny, which this camera angle sucks, so I can't tell.
Right.
Sammy wasn't screened in the least. He should have had a wide open view of that shot.
No. And this is, look, so this is, we're presenting all angles here. Okay. So, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of blame to go around. It is not just the goalies. It is not just the forwards. It is not just the coaching.
Not just the defense.
It is not just the defense. It is not just the equipment manager. It is not just the guy who cleans the toilets in the locker room.
I don't think the guy who cleans the toilet in the locker room, although the way they keep playing, they're going to have a whole lot more work to do.
Yeah, exactly. Because whether it's puke or stuff coming out of the other end, there's going to be a lot to clean up. Anyway. Yeah. Okay, so where were we? 1-0, shorthanded goal. Shorthanded goal, you give up 5.5 minutes into a game against a next-to-last place team that had just played the night before and, ladies and gentlemen, is missing its top scorer.
Oh, really?
I shit you not. Is missing its top scorer and had just played the night before. And, you want a cherry on top of this Sunday? Had endured a more than 120-minute shutout streak. Translation, they had not scored.
Hadn't scored in over three games. Or in over two games.
Two games before this.
And 5.5 minutes in, they get a shorty on us.
Yes.
Wow, this game gets better and better as it goes.
Well, if you haven't gotten the urge to light your pitchforks and torches, you're gonna.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, remember, I was at work for this one too.
Yeah, you'd be glad you were at work because, yeah.
Well, what little bits and pieces of it I was able to hear, yeah.
Well, anyway, we unfortunately, it doesn't end there. We move on.
No, it does.
Approximately 10 minutes into the 10 more minutes after that goal. They let up another one. Adam Gaudette with his fifth of the year. Okay. Stop me if you heard this before. I'm going to run the replay on it. Okay. So an old friend, Zach Sanford, starts the rush. And is this the one? I wonder if this is the one. This might be the strange one where, No, it isn't. It isn't. Okay, so replay starts way too far back. Okay, so Gaudette picks it up mid-ice, and Sanford back to Gaudette, and yeah.
And Sammy just got beat. That's...
Yeah. Well, the defense didn't help him. I think a whole lot of puck-watching there, but... Okay, so they... All right,
well,
so they gained the zone.
Got a player down.
Okay, so Ferravari looked like he was at the Olympics playing, being a curler or something, and Orlov just looked like he'd just given up on the play.
Orlov just,
I don't know what happened there. But they just, everybody just got flat out beat on this one.
I mean, at least Van Riemsdyk was still making an effort. Not that it ended up mattering because they went on the other side, but he was trying to block the shot that he thought was coming. I don't know what happened with Orlov on that one. He just kind of gave up on that one.
I don't know what the hell was going on. I thought maybe he was going to get some more help from the forwards. More on that later. But yeah, everybody looked bad on that one. So that was 2-0, which would of course turn out to be the game winner. And so into the first intermission they go. I'm sure no laughing was involved there. And then some life. So this was this a spillover penalty? Yes. So at the end of that first period, there was a slash called. And so we have a power play goal sighting here on the Power Play Point podcast. Nick Backstrom, his fourth.
Yay!
Ovechkin and Carlson on the assist for that one. I thought if there was one lone bright spot in this game, Other than the fact that they gave up a shorthanded goal 5 minutes in, it was the quote-unquote new-look power play. They changed things up a bit. There was a lot more movement, not only of the puck, but of players. I liked what I saw for the most part. What I don't like is the fact that John Carlson thinks he's Ovechkin and can shoot from the circle. He cannot.
Well, he can. He's done it a couple of times and scored that way, but yeah, no.
Well, anyway, I did like what I saw for the most part. So if they keep that up, the spirit of that anyway, just keep trying new things, moving people around, I think they're going to start to get results. What they got to learn how to do, though, is not to turn the puck over so damn easily. That they have to figure out for damn sure. But anyway, power
play
goal.
They need stickier tape on their sticks then.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of that scene in The Replacements where the guy gets stickum put on his hands, and yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Well, I was thinking more of the skills challenge with the guy doing the blindfolded one where you see that one.
Okay.
You don't remember seeing that one?
I remember that one.
Okay, well, if they've got sticky tape on their sticks and they can pick up a puck and carry it around with them, then obviously they're not going to give it away, are they?
No. Okay, so...
Look, I'm just giving out ideas at this point because you're right. Something has got to give.
I know. Okay, so... So we're thinking it's 2-1 at that point. We're thinking maybe, just maybe, they can crawl back into this. And then time dwindling in the second, they give up yet another goal. This one was the comedy goal where everybody in red decided to do an impersonation of bowling pins that were just hit by a bowling ball. But if you look at the replay, they crowd the net, and literally the sole contribution to defending the net by all players involved was falling down in front of the puck. I kid you not. Again, Brady Tkachuk picks up the loose puck and wrists it.
Oh,
over,
my God. You weren't over, kidding.
I told you. Anyway, so Tkachuk puts it in for the 3-1 wrister. With a minute and a half left. This one was probably the dagger, although there was another goal to come. But that one, I thought, really, really kind of just killed it.
Yeah, and you can see a little bit in the tail bit of the replay that they do show Sammy trying to get back. Sammy thought he had that.
Yeah, and he flat out missed it.
Well... I don't think it's a matter of him flat out missing it. I think he thought he had it when he went down and belly dived over. I think he thought he went over it. But, yeah. He missed it. But at that point, you see he looks defeated at that point.
Yeah, yeah, and I think just about all of the Caps felt that way when this one was scored, because they were working towards some semblance of something of a comeback, and the best evidence of that is the shot on goal totals for the second. They put 15 on goal. Again, give credit to the opposition goalie. Forsberg stood on his head and stopped everything that came his way after that power play goal. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But they were, I mean, I think they just pretty much quit just after that, because it just wasn't working out for them. And anyway, so we move on to the next period. Mercifully, the last goal of the game, 10:29 in the third. Connor Brown, his seventh. And this one, I think Samsonov would like to have back. This one, if I recall, was the one where he was moving right and the shot was going the other way. Anyway, he was moving in the opposite direction of the shot, and it beat him blocker side fairly clean. And yeah, this one, if the other one wasn't the nail in the coffin, this one definitely was. And yeah, that was just it from there. You kind of knew the pace literally slowed down from then on out, and you just knew. And if you didn't start heading for the exits, you should have, because ain't nothing worth a note happened the rest of the game. Yeah. Like I said, the lone bright spot was, although it actually ought to read 0-for-4 because they gave up a goal, but the power play was 1-for-4 in this game. And the penalty kill killed all 5 chances against the opposition.
That's good. And it was a very physical game.
Well, yeah. And I don't know. I don't know if this is a trend in the right direction or not, but I noticed the hits are ramping up, and yet they're not getting any results from that.
No.
That's kind of a strange, I don't know. I'm going to see what I can as far as figuring that trend out and how that correlates. But
yeah, because you would think that if we're hitting more, we should be able to get the puck away from them if we're distracting them by knocking them up against the boards and knocking them down in the middle of the ice, shit like that. You would think we'd be getting the puck away from them, and we're not. I mean,
you would think.
Takeaway.
Yeah, you would think. And then, here's the other thing. The Caps killed 2, not 1, but 2 5-on-3 disadvantages. Again.
What? Why are we having 5-on-3?
Well, no, even bigger than that. You do something like that, you have the momentum.
You would think.
As you know, I don't know if I have any of the fans of the old Seinfeld show listening, but you literally have hand at that point. You have hand. And what that means is you've got the momentum. You've got everything on your side. You start to feel like you can do just about anything. They didn't do anything. Literally,
they
didn't do
new sticks.
I don't know if it's sticks or what it is, but they, I don't know. I don't know.
But
and
yeah, I mean, if we had 2,
we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones who were struggling to figure this out, by the way.
Oh, I know we're not. But if we had 2 5-on-3 power plays or power kills,
penalty kills
that we managed to knock out,
the momentum should be on your side, and it wasn't.
It should be.
And you had Wilson with a big hit on a guy, and he beat the snot out of the guy who challenged him to the fight afterwards. There was no reason.
Can't get the momentum in our favor.
Literally, no reason. The Washington Capitals should have lost this game. Literally no reason. None. None whatsoever. And you're right. You said it before. Everything is incoherent. It's off kilter. It is out of whack. And the Alan May and Al Kokin and all them, made the point. They must have said it at least three times, each of them, that there's no coherence. There's no communication. The forwards are not communicating with the defense. The defense aren't gelling with the forwards. Everything is just off. I don't know what it is. There just doesn't seem to be any trust, or I don't know, whatever they had before the end of the end of the last year, it's gone. It is gone. As far as the attitude, as far as the approach to the game, it is gone. I don't know what happened between then and now, but it's clearly gone. Now, this is the point. This is the thing I stuck a pin in before. I'm not going to say that this is the cause, but around the time the team started going into this sort of malaise, okay, right around the time they started playing like this, like what we're seeing now, and not winning the majority of their games, was the time where they came out with the article that came out that said, well, this team has a goalie controversy, and it's not a good one.
You know what? You're right. I remember that article. There actually were a couple of different articles written about the same thing.
Right. So,
but
when,
now you start to wonder, is this making them doubt their goalies?
Exactly.
But if you're doubting the goalies, then the defense better step the fuck up.
I could not have better said it myself. Yeah, so there you have it. So if you don't trust your goalie, then it's on you to...
Yeah, then it's on the defense and the rest of the team to help them out so they don't have to be in a situation where they're facing tough shots.
And you do that by blocking shots. You do that by clearing rebounds. You do that by communicating with your goalie a lot better.
Right.
I don't know. And I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is. I wish I did. I mean, I don't want to point to this. Let's see. So top to bottom, talking about the defense, Orlov's a Russian. So he's going to communicate fairly well with Samsonov because that's their native language.
Right.
Carlson's an American. Jensen's an American.
You can't even go with that on that, because I heard Sammy give interviews and his English is pretty damn good for being a Russian. Remember when Ovi started and he went 3 years without giving an interview because he couldn't speak a lick of English.
Okay, so it's not a communication thing. Well, we're still left with scratching our heads and wondering what the hell is happening here. But I will tell you this. It all started around the time those articles came out about the goalies.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying that's the touchstone here. I'm not saying that's the careless match thrown into the woods that caused this forest fire. But I'm saying it was around that time. Okay? You want to connect the dots, you can. But to me, it all started around then. So, unfortunately, the mainstream media has its part to play in all this.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, no, it's not all the goalies' fault. And yes, maybe the goalies aren't playing as consistently as we would like. No, they're not. That's for damn sure. They're not gangbusters in terms of individual stats. Of course not. But at the same time, the goals that are given up are not entirely their fault. At least not 100%.
No, I mean, I at no point am I going to blame 100% of this on the goalies.
And
because
like
it's
we
not
said,
100% on the goalies.
Right, and like we said before, if we did really have a goalie problem, the Caps would be losing games since the start of the season, 11-2, 10-4, things like that.
Right.
Okay? And I made this point when I had my episode with Blake and Brad a few weeks ago. If you can count on your goalie, if you need to count on your goalie to bail you out, why can't the reverse be true? Why can't you bail your goalie out by playing better defense and scoring the timely goals? Okay.
Exactly. I mean, because it's not like that we can't do it. When Holtby was still with us, he had some bad stretches, and you know what? We stepped up. The rest of the team stepped up to help him out.
Exactly.
The rest of the team needs to step up, and they need to get out of their heads. Like Cheryl Ann was saying, I can't think it was the Cheryl Ann who was saying it when we were at the game. They got to stop thinking about it too much and just shut the fuck up and play hockey.
Well, see, I don't know if it's they're thinking about it too much or if their minds are elsewhere. But they're not, I don't know, it's possible to be too focused and have that case of tunnel vision.
Right. So, like I said, either they're thinking about it too much and are thinking about it too much and are in that tunnel vision, or they're not thinking enough. Which, either way, they need to just go out there and play hockey.
It's one of the two. It's one of the two extremes.
Right.
It's obviously one of those two extremes. I've been watching hockey for 90% of my life, and I can't put my finger on it. I really can't. I wish I could.
If you could put your finger on it, then you should be behind the bench instead of lobby.
Well, I have been a Laviolette defender for the majority of the season, but I have to say I'm questioning a lot of the things that he's doing. I understand they have a special teams coach, but he should be overseeing that and putting his input and saying, hey, you guys, step it up. Do something here. You're killing us. And if he's not, then why isn't he? For as a start. Now, I've been critical of the fans that say, well, play the young guys. While I don't think playing McMichael, for one, for more than, say, 12 to 14 minutes is the answer. I think he deserves. I think he deserves more ice time, just not that much more. Maybe put him out for an extra shift or three when it starts to get critical, especially in the third. I get the strategy of shortening the bench, but you know, give your top guys a little bit more rest. Send McMichael out there. Send that line out there for an extra shift or three. Just to give your top guys a little bit more wind.
Right.
And I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. And the trade deadline is about a month, a little over a month away. I'm still not subscribing to the fact that, you know, you trade the two goalies, especially the both of them are RFAs, by the way, at the end of the year. So,
So they might be going anyway.
Well, either that or we can get them back for cheap is the point I was going to make. But either way, I'm not sold on that. I get that where that argument comes from, but you know, I don't know. Something should be done about the goalies as far as that goes. I think Brad Silvestro made and Blake Allen both made, you know, the golden nail hit the hammer on the head point of all time when they both said, look, we need a number one. And unfortunately, by default, it looks like that's going to be Sammy until Vanacek works himself back into game shape.
Right.
But it's becoming painfully obvious that Sammy is not cutting it.
No, I don't think that. I don't think it's a matter that he's not going to be capable of being a number one goalie. I just think right now is not his time to be the number one. I think he is still struggling on some things, and needs to keep working. And this is where we would benefit from a veteran goalie to help offer him tips. Because, yes, the goalie coach is going to give him tips and things like that. But you get a goalie out there that he can play with and work with. And, look, this is how I do things. And this is where I would be looking. And a goalie coach isn't necessarily going to give him that. Where an actual, yeah, I'm a goalie, and this is what, you know, where a veteran who's been doing this longer is going to have more insight than possibly a goalie coach.
Which, right, and I totally get that, but that seems to me that it would, everything you just said would fall under the duties of a goalie coach, and
okay.
I don't think our goalie coach is cutting it, to be honest.
Well, I mean, that is a possibility to, as well. But no, what I was going to say is, like, in putting it in terms for me as a restaurant manager, my district manager at the time was great. She knew what she was doing, but she had been so far removed from working in a restaurant on a daily basis. The expectations that she had for how things should be done and how the best way to get those things done weren't feasible. Get me with another GM who's doing this in the trenches with me and is doing this on a daily basis and working through the same stuff I'm working with. Give me that feedback. Things are getting better. You see my point there?
True enough.
So, yes, while a goalie coach is going to be giving you that feedback, most goalie coaches haven't played in how long?
If at all.
Exactly. So that's where that I do think they would, I think Vanacek would benefit from a somebody to go back and forth with as well. I mean, because there are certain things you're only going to be able to get from somebody who's in the trenches with you.
No,
who's on the outside looking in is going to offer really good advice and say, okay, well, this is what I saw when you were blocking. We're going to this. Being in the thick of it is different, and you're going to get a different feedback and a different sense of where to go from somebody in the trenches with you.
True enough. And that's, yeah, if there's a strong case for trading for a veteran goalie, it is that. And you're right. I think that perspective can help them, these two guys, greatly, because, well, they've never ever had that.
No, they haven't, because unfortunately, last year, it didn't work out with Lundqvist, so that kind of hurt, though, and I think it hurt both of them.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument. So.
But I don't want to trade either one of them either, because they both have so much potential.
Yeah, that's my argument against doing that, against sending one of them away, although... Since they are free agents at the end of the year, you know, again, it's right. Possible. It's possible to gain whoever gets sent away for cheap. So there is that. At least,
right? I mean, there is always that possibility. I mean, but then you're also playing Russian roulette. Are we actually going to be able to get them back? And somebody's not going to pay out the nose for them because they see the potential and they've got the veteran that who can back them up and give them the advice that they need and help them get better, where we don't have that right now.
Fair enough. Well,
sorry.
Anyway, that was the week that was on the ice. And yes, I still don't think
this week coming up is going to be scary as hell.
Well, yeah, get to that in a second, but you know, didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on the goalie issue, but
sorry,
no. I'm It's the fault of the people that keep on wanting to make it about the goalies and who refuse to see that it's a team issue, not a goalie issue.
Right.
So, yeah, that's where we went with that. Okay, so you mentioned it a second ago. So previews of coming attractions. Rest of the week looks like this. So Tuesday. Tuesday the 15th. So it's a bit of an extended road trip, but only four games. Tuesday the 15th, they go to Nashville, 8 o'clock puck drop at Bridgestone Arena, to play the Predators. And then it's back east over to Philly to play the Flyers, 7 o'clock puck drop there. And then they're off for a week. And then they go.
I hope, like hell, they get their shit together. They do whatever meetings, whatever team building, whatever the shit they got to do to get their head back in the hockey game.
Yeah.
They're going to have 5 days off. And then the trip, then the following Thursday, they're just hopping up to New York. So they have plenty of time to get their shit together.
Yeah. What you said.
And at this point, I don't know that I would be making any of the skates optional. They need to get their ass, whether they need to get back in shape, if they need extra conditioning, whatever the hell they need, extra power play drills. I don't know. They got to do something. They have got to turn this around because it's not going to be much longer before they're not going to be able to turn it around.
No. Very true. So the next game after the one from Philly, like I said, is a week later in New York at Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. And they play Philly again on another matinee game in Philly. That one's a 12:30 puck drop. Gotta love these afternoon games. So that ends, well, the third week of February. Next week, we hope to have two very special guests as part of our celebration of Black History Month. And one of them, Tyron Waller, is actually planning on being at the Nashville game. He told me he was going to ride up to Nashville with his dad, see if they could catch that game there. He's already caught a few road games, Caps road games this year. So gonna love having him on. I'm sure he's got some great stories about the road trips. And along with him is going to be a longtime listener and favorite, Stuart Small, as well. So we're going to have the both of them on week after this for that. And week after that, on the 27th, I'm hoping to have Lorenzo Robinson of the he's a moderator at the DMV Facebook Caps fans page. So continuing to celebrate Black History Month. And I don't know if anybody saw it, but the Caps actually have the, and I'm dying to see this next time I go out there, but the Caps actually have that that kind of mini Hall of Fame for all of the Black players that have played for the Caps in the Capital One Arena. I'm definitely going to have to stop by there next time I catch the game. So just want to send that out as a reminder. So even though the tone of this week's podcast was kind of negative, I'm still deep down, I'm still optimistic. There's 32 games left to play, plenty of time to turn it around, plenty of time to correct all or most, at least, that is wrong before the playoff time. And it is that last 2 weeks of the season where you want to start peaking because that you want to have the momentum then. So I'm concerned, I'm worried, but I'm not really to give up on the season either. So no reason you should either. And
oh, no, I haven't given up. And I think this is funny because I just clicked on Facebook and Backstrom just was quoted in after the game. Last couple of weeks here, we haven't played with that flow we did earlier, like the mojo we used to have here. So the team knows they're in a slide. And
of course they know.
I'm hoping that the team leaders referring to the players make the initiative and do something about it.
Well, okay, so about that, it's been floated around that they need a players-only meeting, and yeah, if they don't do something like that, and very soon, I think they'll lose whatever grip they have on this season. So obviously, something has to change.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place to stop it for this week. So, like I said, we'll have two very special guests on for Black History Month. I believe Anna will be back with us as well. So hope you can join us for that. But fear not, Caps fans, plenty of hockey left to play. So thanks for hanging in with us and dealing with what has been clearly trying times for us Caps fans. We will get through this. We will survive this, I promise you. So for the Mrs. Blue Liner, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that when the shipmates went to the toilet, they found something very special. The captain's log. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.